was pulled from our consent agenda.
871, amend city code to clarify sewer billing authority and criteria.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me invite Jonas Beery and Janice Thompson forward. This item has been pulled at the request of Janice Thompson, who, as we know, is a representative of the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon that provides oversight to our two public utilities. What I'd like to suggest, Jonas, if you could tee this up just to describe what's before us. Janice, if you could share your concerns, and then if it is your desire, I would be pleased to consider taking it back to my office if there's further work to be done. So, Jonas, will you tee it up?
Thank you, Commissioner. For the record, Jonas Beery, Business Services Manager for the Bureau of Environmental Services. So this agenda item presents two sets of minor clarifying amendments to Chapter 17.36 of City Code related specifically to sewer billing. These changes are intended to improve transparency and consistent application in a couple of specific billing-related circumstances. The first set of changes, which is to subsections 0.020 and 0.050, clarify the definition of areas subject to city stormwater charges for impervious area. These changes better define or clarify properties that are public, clarifies that properties that are publicly available and are regulated by a governmental agency are excluded from these charges. And examples of those properties, it would include parks, public schools, public rights of way. The second change, which is to subsection 0.090, accommodates, recognizes current business practice and accommodates fair customer service by providing reimbursement to ratepayers who have incurred charges for certain sewer scoping or who have billed erroneously. BS has historically offered these reimbursements under the assumption of code authority for water billing, but City Attorney's Office recently advised, and we concur, that the code would be improved by calling out authority specific to sewer charges. Just a little more detail on those two kind of reimbursement circumstances. For sewer scoping, BS occasionally requires that a property owner perform a sewer scope as a result of mapping data indicating a party sewer that may not have a conforming sewer. The cost of that service is typically $150 or less. We see 10 to 15 of these a year. And when the scoping occurs, we have the ability to reimburse the property owner for that. For that fee. Second circumstance is when we receive requests from reimbursement for ratepayers from property owners who have been diligently paying their bills and then for various reasons identify that in fact there was no connection, so they've been paying the bill, not receiving the connected service. Typically that's due just to records errors on the side of either the documents associated with the property title and in conjunction with maybe erroneous errors or documents in BS records. Again, 10 to 15 or a dozen or so of these that we discover a year varies significantly. We've been seeing more of them as more properties have been being sold recently. Currently, code allows for reimbursement up to 3 years under certain conditions, property ownership, evidence of no connection, et cetera, evidence of bill being paid. This adjustment would clarify that the director can authorize reimbursement amounts in those circumstances beyond the 3 years of up to an additional $500. Amounts requested above those 3 years plus $500 would still have an option to be brought to council, and council could authorize reimbursements above those amounts. And we do anticipate having one of those coming to council if we proceed under this path later this summer, so we can talk more about that process if you wish at that time. So just to summarize quickly, our intent is that these are truly administrative changes to reflect current and best business practices that clarify options that are at the Bureau or the Bureau Director's discretion to provide reasonable and fair reimbursement to ratepayers in those specific circumstances.
Very much. Janice, welcome. Right. You've been digging into this, and you want to frame some concerns. So
Janice Thompson of CUB. So, yeah, I requested to pull the agenda. I had some specific questions, but only about the second change that he's discussing, not the impervious service definitions. So most of those questions have been resolved. As a courtesy, obviously, let your office know and Jonas know. I think there's a few other clarifying things such that, you know, maybe your office and I and Jonas and I can, you know, do a little bit of fine-tuning yet. But primarily, or just as importantly, I requested a chance to identify kind of a bigger picture concern related to various BES bureaus and just achieving the appropriate balance between the interests of the system and ratepayers and the interests of individual customers in terms of having meaningful appeal rights with adequate, you know, mechanisms in place for BES to address consumer complaints and objections to administrative appeals. I mean, you saw this, it was all over a year ago. The auditors, you know, brought a proposal to you related to how, you know, ending the practice of customers needing to bill or needing to pay for taking their disputes related to a bureau administrative decision to the hearings officer. And Rex Burkholder testified at that time, you know, that he kind of, you know, kind of went through the fight he had with BES to kind of establish that right and whatnot. But what was striking to me is that he didn't follow through with that, you know, hard-fought appeal right, because on the advice of his lawyer, he looked at the rules and said, well, I'm going to lose. So it just kind of raised the question of, are there some, you know, unduly stacked in the favor of BES dynamics? So, and this also kind of came up in the context of some calls I got related to, you know, some complaints that customers brought to the BES and went through kind of, they have their own internal administrative review process. So I'm pleased to report that in early 2015, when I, you know, kind of circled back to, you know, this all was coming up, talked to BES, you know, they had already identified and had gotten started on an internal review of those proceedings. So that's been moving along a little bit more slowly than I had hoped, but I think it's moving along. And so that, I think, will deal with the first-tier problems, like there need to be clear timelines, there need to be clear procedures for the customer to request these ARC proceedings. But once that's done, I have plan to kind of do this review more in terms of, huh, you say that an appeal is necessary, but as I read this, there's just no way the customer is going to, you know, win this appeal. So that's, and that then I think speaks to kind of a philosophical difference that might be appropriate, you know, between, like, for example, the Water Bureau and BES in terms of discretion on resolving these kinds of issues. The Water Bureau's related, you know, their ARC proceedings that are operated in conjunction with BES participation focus on billing disputes. And they, you know, that their ordinance language, code language, is quite broad. So BES has taken the approach of, like, well, we're going to identify, like, these certain spots where we see something, we want this authority to, you make a financial adjustment or whatnot. And, you know, those two approaches might be valid, but it just some, it's there, I think the BES approach is setting the stage for some of these, you know, can't win for losing, you know, can't fight City Hall kinds of comments that seem to surface more related to BES. Not that they surface, I mean, I'm sure they surface citywide. But so I just wanted to let you know that about that bigger picture. And so, you know, this is a process that, you know, it's complicated, takes a lot of time. So it's not like I'm going to be coming back next week. But I wanted to let you know of that kind of preparatory work. You know, I would, at the appropriate time, you know, kind of circle in and keep the pub posted about all this and whatnot as well. But I just wanted to highlight is that this may well make sense given the approach BES is taking, but down the line, this provision I might suggest revisiting in the context of, like, let's take a little different look at this approach more generally.
Janice, can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
One of the benefits of having both utilities under a single commissioner is we get to look at utilities holistically. So it isn't the BES approach and the Water Bureau approach under different leaders. We look at them as what's the best approach for our public utilities. It sounds to me, and I just was reviewing my notes, that you're in concurrence with about two-thirds of what's in this particular ordinance. And on the question you've raised, which I'll use my words, even though we've reduced the barriers to filing an appeal as the deck stacked against the ratepayer, you've raised that question, and you've raised a question about should BES be more like water in terms of the kinds of discretion that we give to the director. Are you comfortable with us moving forward and adopting this and then committing to addressing your question, or do you think we should hold up the train and address your question before adopting the non-controversial parts of this?
The first. I mean, like I said, I do have one little clarifying question, but I think that can... You want to take action today. I get it.
Well, it goes to a second reading.
But what we would commit to, I mean, I'm just giving you the options. You have framed a concern. It has the full attention of the Bureau in my office. Are you comfortable with the city adopting this, recognizing that you think we may not have gone far enough and we will come revisit that? Or do you want to hold up the train for that discussion?
No. No, I don't want to hold up the train because I was trying to be clear. It's a train that's been in process for a while. And it's a train that appropriately is a slow-moving train and, you know, needs some careful due diligence. So it was more, having some initial questions about the details of this particular provision, but more how it highlights this difference, which I want to stress, it may be appropriate between the two bureaus. I mean, I think there are, I totally agree with you about the advantages of having one commissioner under both bureaus, but that doesn't always mean that, you know, a particular practice in one bureau that has evolved in a different way isn't appropriate. I mean, I think having one commissioner in charge sets the stage better for let's take a step back and learn from each other.
Well, and my understanding, Janice, is that following the council action on the auditor's recommendation that we waive the fees on the appeals, there hasn't been a huge spike in appeals. But nonetheless, I think we should take a look at what has gone through the system, maybe what we're hearing anecdotally didn't go through the system. And we certainly don't want to be in a position where we're saying you have a right to a hearing, but the hearing offers you no meaningful relief.
Right.
And I think that's what you're suggesting.
Yes.
And I commit to taking a good hard look with you and the Bureau at those instances and also comparing the authority with the Water Bureau.
Right.
And addressing that question.
Yeah. And one other quick FYI about the Water Bureau and then circling back to your question. I mean, the Water Bureau, there's also an auditor's report underway that has more of a focus on the billing process, which the Water Bureau does provide that service for both bureaus, so implicitly it involves the BES, but it's a little bit more Water Bureau focused. So I think, because I think one dynamic under the Water Bureau model of like more broad discretion are those discretionary, sometimes I hear situations that makes it seem like you've got the discretion to do this, do it. I mean, which is understandable. When you have the discretion, you want to be really careful about using it, but are they potentially going to be too careful? So another piece of the puzzle is this auditor's report could help shed some light on that model and kind of taking a look at kind of an analysis of both sides and both models, you know, could inform conversations. And that's, again, why...
Thompson, we have to move on.
So nothing is going to come back immediately. Nevertheless, in terms of moving forward on this, but my wanting to highlight this point was that I didn't want down the line for this revision to end up being part of a possible set of recommended changes only to be asked, well, why didn't you bring this up earlier? I'm bringing it up now more as a placeholder and identification. This longer train is underway.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to testify on item 871?
I think they all left.
Okay, so it'll go to a second reading, and let's move to item 874.